Welcome to the Lift Oneself podcast, Paula. I am so grateful to be here with you.
I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time coming, so I'm glad we were finally able to make it happen.
Yes. Everything is due time all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's take a breath together so we can open our heart for this conversation. Focus on your breath and just let it ride whatever way while allowing the body to release whatever it needs to release. And I'm going to ask you to create an intention at the bottom of your stomach for this podcast, this conversation that we're going to have. While still staying focused on your breath, allow that intention to form. And when it's ready, release it from the bottom of your stomach, letting it rise into your nervous system, passing through your heart. And reaching into your mind and let it blossom there while still having roots at the bottom of your stomach and it blossoming in your mind while still staying with your breath. Allow that intention to be in all of your cells and your being. And while being with your breath, allow your heart to open up some more. And for the body to relax. And just be with your breath some more. To open that heart and allow that intention to blossom and its roots be strengthened. And when you're ready, gently open your eyes. How's your heart doing?
It's clear. It's free. It's full.
Can you let the listeners know who Paula is?
The first thing that comes up now is I'm a mom. And that's something that I wanted to be since I could remember. So in this season, that is the most important thing to me. That is the thing that gives me the most joy, the most peace, the most hope, like just amazing experiences. And it helps me trust my intuition more than I ever have before. Beyond that, I am an artist. And I get to express my creativity through different mediums, through hair, through music, through dance. And I am an entrepreneur. That is how I've, you know, been able to sustain my lifestyle for, you know, since I was 13. And for the past going into 14 years with a storefront. I've recently become a wife. So being a partner is not as natural as being a mom. So that is very new and just takes a different level of communication that I don't think I ever recognized was like even in me. I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. I'm an aunt. I'm a member of this community. I'm a human on this planet. And I just get to be me. So I'm happy.
You sound like you have your hands full.
Yeah.
Navigating. How do you take care of yourself? What does your self-care look like?
Well, I... recently, I'm just finished 5 months of an intentional program that allowed me to really ask myself those questions and uncover the stories and really change the stories and be able to have an answer for that, actually, because I don't think I knew what my leisure list looked like before, or like I would use self-care as like, you know, a spa visit or whatever, like the, you know, the basic kind of topical things. But now some of the things that I need to do on either a daily or weekly basis are journaling. I actually hadn't journaled for like a 6, 7, 8, like for like maybe 4 or 5 days before last night. And I could feel it, you know, I could feel all of the words just like, just in the body needing to get out. So that's something that is really important to me to do at the end of every night. Another thing that's important to me is music. So I now, I'm rehearsing every week, just getting ready for whatever opportunities I create or opportunities that are created for me to step into. So I find music is definitely, a huge point of healing for me. And now with my son, it's important to get outside. We take walks most every morning. And if I don't walk with him in the morning, usually it's my mom. So at least he gets his walk. But if I don't get a walk every like other or every third day, that's a problem. So even in the winter, I'm like, I need to be in nature. Like this morning we went by the water and we saw the ducks and we got out and we said hi. And he loves it. And I think I love it even more now. And it's really cute. He'll bring me his boots like, hello, I'm ready to go. So just like being outside, I've always loved nature. But now I just see like the healing elements that it brings me. Like I sing along the walk, or sometimes I just breathe intentionally, or like I just touch a tree and just like feel the sun. So those are some things that I do for self-care.
In this program that you mentioned, did you get to discover what your needs are?
I discovered that it's a challenging for me to sometimes ask for what I need, to ask for support, even though it's right in front of me. And sometimes I'll come up with the story of how it looks like that I have to, that there's an exchange in need for me to receive support. And like, that's not true. I have an extremely supportive partner. And I feel like I've never experienced that before. So it seems like I was just self-sabotaging it. You know, I'm like, this isn't real. Like, this doesn't really exist. Like, what does he really want? And so it's been like quite the roller coaster for him as well as for me. And so needs, like, that's a good question. I think I actually might have to come back to that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause wants and needs, you know, two different things.
Very much.
And so I think some of the needs are those things that I mentioned, like I need to get outside, I need to sing, I need to spend time with my son, I need to also spend time with myself. Mm-hmm. And that, I didn't know that part. That part's new. Yeah, because every week we would meet once a week, and the next week would be integration. So I meet with myself, and it's like, you know, can I still show up when somebody's not showing up for me? And I can. So that's been a big eye opener, to really ask, like, what do I actually need to, like, to live and to feel joy and happiness on a day to day? And if I'm not feeling it, how do I find that? You know, what are the things that help me access that?
I'm going to bring you into the emotion of anger that many people don't like to talk about, yet it's really necessary. Do you have a healthy relationship with your anger?
Healthy. Is it healthy? I think it's definitely gotten there. But I don't think it was, and I think it could probably still work on that, because anger is the feeling that as a child, get suppressed. Anger and sadness were not really explored or questioned. Like, you know, there was no support through emotions other than like the fun stuff. So I think that I spent majority of time suppressing when those, like the anger, the sadness, when those things come up, you just want to suppress. So I've definitely spent a lot of years suppressing anger and not really understanding the root of this issue, and that it actually is rooted in anger, and beyond the anger, it's rooted in sadness. But even like separating those two, because sometimes I like to group them together, but they are still separate. So I think that it's definitely gotten healthier more recently. But that's definitely, that's taken actually acknowledging the stories and really having the conversations with the people that I need to have them with beyond myself, if and when possible. Because sometimes, you know, the closure, you know, you don't get it from having the conversation with the other person. So I've definitely invited myself into writing about it, and writing about it in my journal, as well as writing it through songs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think that I'm very good at feeling out loud, especially through tears. But I think that, yeah, sometimes I don't necessarily take it that step further and separate the sadness of the tears with the actual anger of those tears as well.
I hear your little one in the background.
Yes.
When he expresses anger, how do you show up as a mother for that?
That's a good one. I have a lot of patience with him, a lot of patience, because I think it's almost like a trauma response of doing like the polar opposite of what I experience. So most times I'm very soft with him, and I usually go down to his level. Like the other day, he was like angry, kind of flailing his little body in the corner. And I just sat like with my legs open and my arms open, just, you know, telling him like, come, you know, come to me. Just, and he was going through that moment. And then as soon as I touched his little arm, then he leaned in. Then he came in for a hug. And then I just started to soothe him and let him know it's okay. It's okay to feel whatever he's feeling. So I just let him go through the experience until he's ready to come, you know, and ask for that help to like kind of soothe himself, or help me soothe him back down. But I'm really soft with him.
Does anger ever come up in your parenting right now?
I feel like very rarely, because I'm so focused on the fact that he's a baby and whatever this stage is, will pass. So I'm never really concerned about this being a thing that sticks. I know that he chose us to help support him through these moments. So that's where like the trust of his choice in me and in God's choice for us, like with this child, like I trust that with all my heart. So I don't think I really find myself getting angry. You know, I think I'm sure I've gotten frustrated. But I don't think it really ever sticks or lasts for very long. Yeah, I just trust that he'll move through it with our help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about being a partner when your partner and you are in maybe, you know, disagreements or conversations? Does anger come up?
Well, yeah, he's not a baby. It's so different. It's so different with a grown adult. It's absolutely different. And that's where the communication is really key, you know, like being able to express it, not in the moment of anger, but feeling it for myself first. And maybe doing some journaling if I need to, if I'm not sure how to really say it, or I can't pinpoint what it actually is. I found what helps recently is taking the time with myself. And he's really good at that. He's much better at that than I am. I like usually just pounce like a little leopard. But leopards sit in the grass and wait, don't they? So, so maybe I have some things to learn from nature once again.
Yeah. Are there tools that you guys have developed to put in cues when we may not even realize, you know, anger's here? And most times, like, you know that nothing's going to be solved in these kind of conversations. So are they safety cues or words that you guys use to be like, okay, let's separate right now, because nothing good is going to come out of this right now. And we may actually cause more harm because of our emotions that are so sparked up and we're, you know, being reactive.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that too. And once again, more him than me, in just saying, you know what, I just need a moment to process this. So let's come back to this later. And sometimes later can be that same day. Sometimes it can be 2 days away. So I think we're really good at giving each other the space and giving ourselves the space to just like think through what it is. And not just the thinking part, the feeling part. I think that's something that's changing for me as well, because we go like out of the body and then we just go right into the mind. But sometimes that time away like actually needs to be spent just feeling like the feeling the anger, feeling the sadness, feeling the doubt, feeling all those things, so that you can actually help it pass through your own body first. And then you can have that conversation more clearly with someone else. So we're pretty good at that. The other day I actually asked him that. I'm like, do you want to come up with a word? And he's down, like he's very open to the world that I live in, because I think that like I've been doing, you know, the work on myself intentionally for a long time. And I feel like motherhood has created a whole nother like portal of that, like a whole nother entry point of what that really looks like for me. Because I'm so invested in helping my child and children be able to navigate those things without feeling like they have to suppress it, find a substance, find a something unhealthy. Like the healthy thing to do is to actually sit with yourself and allow yourself to feel. So, but that's not always, you know, easy, quote unquote. So we're doing a lot of these practices within ourselves and with each other, so that it is much more, so that it just is more natural as we're sharing these types of tools with our kids.
Recently, you shared with me that there was a bit of frustration being a parent navigating through Western medicine. Would you be able to share what that experience was?
Yeah, so my partner is a vegetarian. I still eat meat, but very rarely, more so like in the household. We don't really cook meat. So I have agreed to have Rashid follow that same lifestyle. And as he is in this stage of life, we're not interested in dairy. We're not interested in soy. Like there's just some things that we're not gonna feed him. And so, you know, every time you go in for the check-in, it's like, well, you know, what are you giving the child? And, well, you should really consider soy for bone density. And is he getting all the food groups? And it's like a constant, like, oh, everything but meat, you know? And it's like, just that the way in which it's said sometimes can be so like, are you sure that's what you want to do? Like, are you sure you're not going to give him this thing? Like, you could be harming your child if you don't do what the whatever board of food says to do. And I just did not feel good yesterday in that appointment because we've made it very clear, you know, he's 15 months. We've made it very clear from the beginning that this is a choice that we've made. And every time you're asking the same thing and it's like, it's the same answer. You know, so the nurse came in, did the check, and then the doctor comes in and then is like, oh, I have some, you know, questions for you now. Like, let's talk about it. And, you know, she definitely came from more of a, like, just giving education standpoint and not wanting to judge whatever our choices are. She just aligned us with a dietitian in the office. So that we can get more information, because by all means, if there's more that we can do, if there's other things, then great. Like, we're open to that. But the judgment in which they like say it in is just so like weird to me. And so I don't appreciate that. Like, this is our choice. We're honoring that. That's it. I just didn't like. I just didn't like being questioned in the way, like, kind of like, well, can I ask why? And it's like, cause it's our personal choice. Like, what is it to you? You know, he is good. He's so cute. He's knocking at the door. He is great. Like, he's developing, you know, as, you know, most every child does. And you know, he's hitting all the quote unquote milestones, you know, cause even those, all the percentile things, and I'm not a fan of those things. It makes people feel like you're not doing enough, or you haven't done enough to help your child. When I'm like, I truly believe every child develops in their own rate, at their own pace. Like, our son was walking at 10 months, you know, while some walk at 12 or 15 or 18, like, but they get there whenever they get there. So just the medical world and how they have their percentiles and all the statistics and all these things. Like, it's just not a great feeling when you are going against that typical grain and you're questioned for it. You know, so I didn't like that. I didn't appreciate that feeling that she specifically passed on yesterday around our preferences for our child.
Do you mind exploring a little bit more how you felt? Like, what was the feeling you were feeling in that?
Judged.
Okay.
Because, you know, the standard is give them cow's milk. But I'm like, isn't that something that's changed over the last years? You know, and soy, it has. My husband knows much more. Like, he is an organic vegetable farmer. So more than I, like, he's introduced health into my life. I didn't really care what I was putting in my body before him. And so now that it's actually something that I do consider, I feel like, because he's not necessarily, like, our baby's not necessarily vegan, but technically he is, because he's eating purely plant-based things. So, you know, then there's the recommendation that they give of it's not recommended under a certain age. And I'm like, but he's fine. Like, you know, his system is regular. He has his routine. Like, what is the issue here? So yeah, it made me feel judged for choosing to not introduce him to these things that, you know, have like steroids and hormones in them that are not healthy for us as adults. And it's, you know, not a judgment of mine to pass on to other people who choose to feed their child whatever they choose. But this is my choice. So why are you questioning it? So yeah, it just made me feel like, just made me feel some type of way. I don't know if I know how to put a word, if I can put a word. The only thing that comes up is judged. That's the biggest word. And I think that it puts into question my choices. So it plays on the doubt. It plays on the feelings of doubting my choices. And so I stayed in that feeling like for the rest of the day. And that wasn't a nice space to be in. So yeah, that was an interesting experience because I recognized, you know, that right after that appointment, like I went in all happy and I was good to go. And then after I was like I just felt so low and depleted. And I feel like it's a conversation that I want to have with them because I'm wondering if that's something that is considered. I think that there's a way to say everything and there's a way to say it with kindness. And I just don't know that it was rooted in kindness. I think it was rooted in the system of medicine, which, you know, is what it is. It's based off of the books, not off of what my intuition is as his mother.
Mm-hmm. There becomes a point where you have to trust within yourself, trust that intuition, and also give education to people. Mm. And at times, because they're titled as a professional, we don't think we have a space to educate. And it's showing a different way. As you mentioned, the medical system is trained off of a certain way. And that's what they don't deviate off of that. Just like now you are learning another way and you don't want to deviate off of that. So the two can create a conflict or a clash, recognizing that, you know, you, as you just mentioned, I could possibly educate them to recognize how their questioning makes a person feel.
Mm-hmm.
And to leave a parent feeling doubtful, not good enough, does much more harm to the child than being able to use that placebo of, well, how is it working, and seeing that everything is going well with the child. If there were any concerns, mm-hmm. then bring up, you know, certain things. Yet if there aren't any concerns, it's all about the approach of how you question and how you present things. Mm-hmm. And the medical system, you know, to be on their side also, they're not able to really give too much quality because they have so much quantity and they're seeing so many people and having to, you know, repeat certain things. So to take a pause and see an individual, and as much as we would like it to be, you know, have humanity, we also have to see the system as a system, and they are not always afforded to do that as much as we would appreciate. So they have to be reminded also of, you know, take a pause. You know, see me as a human, and I do have emotions and feelings. Mm-hmm. And to give them, you know, because at times we all could lose our bedside manners. We get so caught up in a day. And I think that is where we can get into healthy communication and dialogue, that it's not just a top down, that systems are to receive feedback so that mm-hmm. if it is a care system, if it's a medical system, that it is important of the information you're giving to a person and how they're leaving, that is much, has much more impact than possibly any medicine that you give of how they're feeling. Because as you said, you left with a feeling that impacted you for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've come out of, you know, the space of using food as a healer. And because that's where we come from, it's easy for, like, when she said, you know, calcium is could be missing if, you know, soy or dairy is not in the diet, the first thing my husband did was look up calcium, and it's in everything he eats. It's in the sweet potatoes, it's in the squash, it's in the, you know, like he does the lentils, he does the mushrooms. You know, we do the beet, like we do all the things. He has a great diet. He eats better than both of us. Okay. And he inspires us to do better. So I was just like, damn, like you guys are sitting here acting like he's not getting, you know, enough because it's off by a couple milligrams. Like it was just so wild to me. And because this is somebody who's going to be our care provider for a long time, it is a conversation that will be had. I do have a relationship with this doctor outside of the office. So it made me feel like even more so inclined to have the conversation with her. And even like, you know, I'm going back to like 2020 when all the conversations of our blackness and how the ignorance of others can affect that. Having those conversations, even with my best friend, it took me 2 years to bring up a conversation that pissed me off in 2020. Like just the, was it last? I think it was maybe at the end of last year that we finally were able to, I was finally able to say to her, this is what it felt like for you as a white person to tell me how I was supposed to feel about that word. I don't need you to tell me how I should feel and why it's not the same for you. I needed you to just listen. Okay. And just that's it. All I needed you to do and acknowledge. I didn't need you to tell me that, well, it's different for me. So why don't you? Yeah. So even remembering, just going back to that, it was like, it took me 2 years, you know, so I was holding that in my body. And that sucked. Like, I remember that feeling, like, you know, we would still kind of go on as per usual. But I remember having like, you know, I just always find something snarky to say afterwards, or, you know, I wasn't moving in kindness. I was moving in frustration. And once I stepped into the kindness, that allowed me to have the conversation. And because I'm so rooted in the kindness now, I'm like, that inspires me to have the conversation with them like sooner than later. Like, I won't let this go on for another 3 weeks without at least writing up something for myself, so that I can understand what that really felt like for me. And then having the conversation with them, whether it's the next visit in person or whether it's a letter that I just type up and politely get, you know, find to them. But I do think it's important when you have the capacity to educate, but I also feel like it's not supposed to be our job to do that. So it is being mindful of where I'm at. If I have the capacity, great. But if I don't, that's okay too. Mm-hmm.
I also see too that to be mindful that the medical system, they don't really learn about nutrition. So most of them just think calcium comes from one place. And that's all. And like I said, when you see it only one way and other people experience another way, there's a clash. And when you're going into the medical system and you're talking about nutrition and minerals and foods, you know, bacterias, a lot of them, they're oblivious to it. They have no education in it. And so that's what I mean about going into these spaces and being the living testimony of there's a different way. Then that sparks them to research and find some more, because it's like, well, if this is working for this patient, the information that we had at one time, that has to change. This data has to change. Yet it's a slow moving process when it's in the medical system. Yet you will spark a lot of fear when you're going against a different way, because they'll be like, well, what about this and this and this?
Yeah. It's a weird process to me to say to somebody, you know, you should consider this because if you want to put your kid in school, they're going to expect this of you. And I'm like, school? So you're telling me that I'm supposed to follow a system that was not created for my Black son, and then to put him in a system that also wasn't created for my, like we're going to be finding a homeschool community, and not just finding, but creating a homeschool community for him, so that he can see himself every day. And that's something we both feel very strongly about. So we're ready, like on the other side of where they're at, you know? So I'm like, yeah, and you know, you know, cause they're on that side too. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I am not interested in living in this world just to be told how I'm supposed to live by some white man that would never have walked through my shoes. It doesn't make sense for me.
Mm-hmm. Kudos on you. I'm going to bring you into a reflective question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you to take your awareness right now and bring it back to your 18-year-old self. You're able to tell your 18-year-old self three words to bring you through the journey to right now. What would those three words be?
You are loved, because the 18-year-old self was looking for it in all the wrong places and would have never thought that by sitting with myself, I could have possibly found that within, as opposed to finding it or feeling like I found it externally. Yeah.
Is there anything that you would like to leave the listeners?
Spending time with yourself is where the most transformation will happen, and aligning yourself with guidance as you're on that journey is another powerful piece of assistance that I felt like for me was very necessary. I don't think I would have gotten here without people like yourself in my life at specific points and times. I remember, I think it was during the pandemic when we were doing meditation in the bathtub, you know? And so I've been exposed to many different practices over the years. But I think that what I find now is that the biggest practice is actually sitting with myself alone in solitude with my journal and committing that time, because like life gets busy, you know, for everyone. But the thing that remains is us, like our bodies are always with us. So whatever it takes for you to find time with yourself, it's not always practical for some to do every day. So for myself, it's a weekly practice. And so even our time together, this to me, I consider a part of my weekly practice. The weekly time with self, where the phone is off and it's just you and your thoughts. And like last week, I went into the woods and I found a place to sit and I cried, you know. It's like I had to really invite the tears. Like they were not wanting to come up. They wanted to just stay stuck. And I finally invited them to come up and they did. And then I was able to move on with my day. So I think that the time with self in solitude has been the biggest change. That's where I've experienced the biggest changes in the last, you know, few months. So I invite everyone to find that time. You know, if you have kids, maybe it has to be while they're sleeping. Instead of doing the dishes, you know, you're just taking a moment to breathe and appreciate that you are here. You made it through the day. And this life, we get to live this life. We don't have to get up and do what we do every day. We get to do that. So just a shift in the mind. I find that is the biggest thing I would leave people with, is give yourself the time, give yourself the space, because nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody's going to give that to you.
Where can the listeners find you?
You can find me on IG. My music page is Music by Policy. And my hair page is Curly Hair Designs. And my educator page is Curls Understood the Academy. So I am usually in those spaces. I do enjoy social media, but I also got to take my breaks. So if you don't see me there, then I don't know. I'm just like, I'm around. You can see me in the community. You might see me out for a walk. You might see me skating. I got to go skating next weekend. So, or you might see me on stage. Yeah, more stages in 2023. But those are some places that you can find me.
I want to thank you for, you know, giving the most valuable thing that we can give in this world is our time. So thank you for sharing this time and having a heart-centered conversation. I want to ask, are you willing to share what your intention was during the meditation?
It was truth and honesty. I was like, if I'm going to be here and I'm going to talk, let me keep it real. Let me keep it real. And there were pieces of the conversation that I chose to keep to myself, because some things are just for me, or just for my family. So I just shared in my highest level of truth, when I was choosing to share. And that felt good. That felt really good.
Thank you for being vulnerable and being as transparent as you could be while still protecting the boundaries and, you know, privacy of your family, which is important.
Ooh, boundaries. We should talk about boundaries. That's another thing that I didn't realize. Other people are not supposed to uphold themselves to our boundaries. We have to uphold our boundaries to ourselves. Hey, that's another thing to leave people with.
Yeah, we're responsible for the boundaries, but we would wish that other people knew what the boundaries were and would just follow it and all this. Yet it's recognizing you are the one responsible for it. And it can be very difficult to communicate that. And if you don't know what your needs are, then a lot of times anger has to come up as that bodyguard because you feel powerless or you feel violated, and anger is there to protect you because you don't have that boundary to be able to feel safe, to feel respected, to feel like you're a human being and you're not just being disregarded, which takes work to be able to have that healthy relationship with anger. Because I think anger has been butchered in such a way that people don't even know how to interact with this emotion.
Yes, I agree.
And it has so many things to unpack and really dive into. And that's what I'm going to dive into for 2023, is giving some education surrounding anger. And so people can have that relationship. And I know it's overwhelming because a lot of time when anger happens, it's like you said, there's that pouncing, there's that reactivity. And most times we take violent behavior, either with language, emotions, or physical. And, you know, at first it's going to be messy, and you have to allow yourself for it to be messy before it can take form.
Yes. Yes. It can get messy. And I know that there's more to this life than those moments that we experience. So, you know, the investment on what's on the other side of the anger, it means like I have to go through, like I can't go around it. You know, I can't jump over it. Like, well, I was doing that. I was doing that, you know, and that worked up until it didn't, you know? So now it's like going right through it. Yeah. I've gotten a lot further doing that. So I do, you know, hope that your listeners, you know, seek support. You're great support to seek. So it's like sometimes, you know, and I remember the person that I was working with, I've known her for many years, and I worked with her about, I think in 2018, and then it took several years to go back. So sometimes you know, people aren't ready until they're ready. But I really hope that these podcasts and these conversations are moments for people to recognize, like, we all have the opportunity to get through to the other side, and there's greatness there waiting for everybody. Everybody's entitled to greatness that exists, that we were gifted to receive in this lifetime. But we have to be willing to engage with our feelings to actually get there.
It's always a delight to connect with you and, you know, just vibe and share energy and conversations. I am so thankful you came finally as a guest, and I hope you will come back again, because I know a lot of people can learn from you. So thank you again for being such an amazing human being on this planet. We benefit so much from it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me and for keeping up the consistency of these podcasts. And I hope you know that you're touching, even if it's just one person, that's all that really matters. That's all that we need to know, is that there's one person that got affected in a positive way by our conversation that to me is everything. So thank you for giving me the opportunity as well to speak my truth and to just be. And it's such a beautiful space to be in that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Remember to be kind to yourself.
I will.
Wow, you made it all the way here. I appreciate you and your time. If you found anything of value in this conversation, I ask that you please share it out. Help grow the community of Lift Oneself. If you have any suggestions or feedback, send us an email at liftoneself@gmail.com. Until next time, please remember to be kind to yourself.